What if I told you that the biggest threat to your marriage may not be coming from the outside? Not the financial pressure, not the busy season, nor that difficult in-law. The thing quietly dismantling your marriage is sitting right across from you every morning, and neither of you has been willing to call it what it is. Today, we are talking about insecurity in marriage, how it shows up, and how to arrest it. Hello, and welcome back to Truth Talk about Life and Leadership Solutions, a place where I help you navigate your life, family, and work in a way that gives you peace and maximizes your potential so you live a truly successful life. If you're here for the first time, we are doing a series titled Family, Marriage, and Mandate. I would encourage you to go back and watch the episodes so that you can really understand the discussion. So, we talk about communication, we talk about intimacy, we talk about roles and responsibilities, but we do not talk enough about insecurity in marriage. And yet, many of our marriages are being threatened by this enemy. If that touched you in the wrong way, please don't stop the podcast because this conversation is for you. Over the past episodes, we've tried to establish that marriage is more than just another relationship. It's a covenant assignment where God brings two people together to continue his work and to fulfill a purpose that neither of them could accomplish alone. Now, what this means is that the health of your marriage is not just personal, it's purposeful. And anything that erodes the health and well-being of your marriage does not just affect your household. It actually affects your life and it affects your mandate or your work. Insecurity in marriage is one of the most undiagnosed issues in our times, and yet it shows up between couples who are otherwise doing the right things. Couples who love God, who love their families, and are genuinely trying to make the best of the marriage. But because there's a fracture in the foundation, things just never seem to be moving in the right direction, or they are just not moving at the pace that they should be moving at. And more often than not, one of the reasons for that fracture is insecurity. Over the next couple of minutes, we're going to be looking at what insecurity actually looks like in a marriage, what it costs you when it goes unaddressed, and how to move practically and intentionally from it so you move from competition or suspicion into true partnership. So what is insecurity? It's a feeling of inadequacy, self-doubt or anxiety regarding one's worth, abilities or safety. It involves a lack of confidence and apprehension about the future or relationships. It can result in doubting a person's love or loyalty, often leading to jealousy, possessiveness, or trust issues. And the root is fear. And anything inspired by fear will ultimately result in problems or pain. Insecurity in marriage does not always show up as a threat. Often it's a quiet, unspoken dynamic where one spouse feels threatened by the other, by their growth, their success, their gifts, or by how far they've come or how far they're going. And over time, if not addressed, it develops into a huge obstacle that I will call Goliath, that keeps threatening the purpose of the marriage the way Goliath was threatening the Israeli army. The truth is, nobody wakes up and says, "I think I feel threatened by my spouse today." No, it doesn't work like that. It just comes in without your knowing it. Sometimes it's disguised as concern, as leadership and protection. And in some other cases, it comes as love, care, or devotion. But underneath is insecurity that hasn't been dealt with. And if it isn't named and addressed, it will surely and quietly eat the marriage from the inside out. I've seen couples who look fine on the outside. They show up at church together, have beautiful pictures, use all the right languages, but privately, there's a war going on in that home. And 9 times out of 10, when you peel it back, what you'll find is one spouse who had quietly decided that the other's growth was a problem. You cannot build a God-ordained marriage on a foundation of insecurity. I was looking at a scripture early this week. Jesus was eating at the home of a Pharisee. He had been invited to eat and didn't follow the traditional hand-washing ritual before the meal. It looks to me like Jesus was picking a fight with the Pharisees. And it worked. Because immediately the Pharisee notices. And instead of curiosity, what rises up in the room is offense. He was wondering, why didn't Jesus wash his hands before eating? Of course, Jesus was ready for him because he anticipated it. So he used that occasion to paint to that Pharisee just how greedy and wicked they were as rulers. Concerned about looking clean on the outside, but full of filth on the inside. Now, these were educated and credentialed men. Men who were influential in the society, established and well-respected by the masses. But something about Jesus, his boldness, his authority, his impact disturbed them. And rather than engaging him to listen and learn in good faith, they spent the better part of his ministry trying to discredit, trap, and ultimately destroy him because he made them feel threatened. And like these religious leaders, some of us have fallen into this trap in our marriages, and we are wondering why things are the way they are. So what does a threatened spouse actually look like? Because again, insecurity doesn't actually announce itself. It's quiet and often wears a mask. You heard me. And one of those masks is called being the head of the household. No offense to anyone. We're just trying to keep this conversation real and helpful. Let's look at some of the signs that show that insecurity is in operation. The first sign is chronic minimizing. This is when you consistently downplay the wins of your spouse. So he or she got a promotion, and instead of celebration, she hears, "Well, don't let it get to your head." Or you finish your degree and the response is lukewarm at best. You share an idea that you are excited about and your spouse finds every possible hole in it. Now, constructive feedback is healthy in a marriage, but there is a difference between sharpening your spouse and deeming them. And a threatened spouse will deem you consistently because your light is making them uncomfortable. The second sign is control disguised as protection. Now, this one sounds like, "I just want the best for you," or "I'm trying to protect us." But what's actually happening is that every time you try to grow, step out, or pursue something, there is resistance. There are roadblocks. There is enough friction to keep you contained instead of blossoming. A threatened spouse doesn't always yell. Sometimes they just make it really difficult for you to fly. The third sign is comparison and competition. Instead of the marriage feeling like a team, it starts to feel like a scorecard. Who earns more? Who is more respected? Who has more influence? Who do people listen to more at the dinner table or with others? Everything becomes a subtle competition. And competitive energy in a marriage is draining. It is exhausting because you can never just win with your spouse. You can only make them feel like they are losing. The fourth sign is emotional withdrawal when the other spouse thrives. This one is painful because your spouse has a great day, a breakthrough, visible success, and instead of warmth, you get distance. Instead of connection, there's this coldness because somewhere in the interior world, your success reads as their failure. And so rather than process that, they pull back and you are left celebrating alone in a marriage, which is one of the loneliest feelings in the world. The fifth sign is public undermining. This is when the threats go external. Subtle digs in front of friends, correcting unnecessarily in public, telling stories that subtly cast your spouse in a lighter or a lesser light. This is the Saul and David dynamic playing out right at the dinner table or in conversations with others. Because Saul didn't just feel threatened privately, it eventually spilled into his public behavior, his decisions, and his leadership. And the same happens in marriages where this isn't addressed. Now, do any of these resonate with you? You don't have to say anything. But I want you to be honest. Not just asking yourself if your spouse does these things. Ask yourself if you do these things, because this conversation requires both a mirror and a window. You see yourself and then you can clearly see and appreciate your spouse. Now let's talk about the cost of insecurity, because insecurity unchecked is not free. It costs you things you can't always get back. First of all, it creates emotional distance. When one spouse consistently feels unsupported, minimized, or competed with, they stop bringing their full self into the union. They stop sharing their dreams. They stop being transparent, because vulnerability requires safety, and a threatened spouse rarely creates a safe environment. So the marriage begins to look functional on the outside, while the emotional intimacy quietly dies on the inside. Another thing it does is stunts the mission. Remember, this is Marriage, Family, and Mandate series. So God gave you a mandate as a couple. A threatened spouse will unconsciously, sometimes even consciously, work against the very thing that God is trying to build through that union, because they have prioritized their ego over their assignment. And the mandate therefore stalls. Calling gets delayed, and both of you end up living below what God actually intended for your lives together. Another thing it does is that it teaches your children that love competes. Because children learn what love looks like by watching you. And if what they see is a parent who gets quiet when the other wins, if what they see is subtle competition, control, and minimizing, that is the templates they will take into their own relationships. The generational impact of a threatened spouse is profound. And ultimately, it can end the marriage. If unchecked, not always with a dramatic blow up, but sometimes it ends quietly. One spouse grows, reaches for more, becomes more, and the other's insecurity couldn't hold the space. And the person who was meant to build with them walks away. Not because they stopped loving them, but because they stopped being safe for them. Think about that. Let's look at another case scenario. King Saul, the first king of Israel, had David's loyalty but lost it. Actually, didn't even lose it, but David had to run. And David was loyal. He was gifted and willing to serve. But Saul's insecurity turned a covenant ally into a perceived enemy. And it cost him eventually his throne, his relationships, and eventually his life. So watch out for insecurity in your marriage and deal with it. Don't let it cost you your marriage. Now, how do you war against insecurity as a couple? Yes, War, because insecurity is a threat to your marriage, to your family, and your mandate. So you must stand up to it as a team. And the first step is to move from a place of threat to a place of partnership. So let's go back to the blueprint in the book of Genesis. So when God created Eve, he made her as a helper for Adam. And for years, that word has been misused to suggest inferiority, somehow even less than that. But the Hebrew word here is Azer, and Azer is one of the most powerful words in the Old Testament. I spoke a bit about that in one of our past episodes. It's used elsewhere to describe God himself when he comes to the aid of his people. This is strength deployed at the point of need. I love that. Point of need. In other words, God looked at Adam, saw what he lacked, and designed Eve specifically to bring what was missing. Her strength was not a threat to Adam's identity. Her strength was the answer to Adam's limitation. Now let's apply that to our marriages. Your spouse's gifts, the education, the earnings, capacities, skills, social intelligence, spiritual depth, none of these is meant to be a threat to you. Instead, they are answers to something you don't have. They are God's strategic provision for the gaps in your own life. So a secure spouse understands this. A secure spouse says, where I am weak, God gave me a partner who is strong. And that strength belongs to us, not me. It belongs to our union. It belongs to the mandate. Partnership in marriage means you celebrate each other's wins as our wins. It means you create an environment where your spouse can fully become who God called and created him or her to be. Not contained in a version that makes you comfortable, but where they are at their best, their full capacity. This means that you stop thinking and asking, why is my spouse better at this than me? And you start asking instead, how do we leverage this gift or this strength? That is partnership. This is what unlocks you and the assignment and causes your marriage to soar on the wings of divine purpose. Now, I want to speak to you. If in the honesty of your heart, you know that you have been a threat in the union, not intentionally, but by virtue of your gifting, your growth, or your visibility. Maybe you are on the other side of this, or that you are the one whose success is triggering your spouse, and you're asking, how do I keep growing without constantly destabilizing my marriage? Now, let's look at how Jesus handled the Pharisees. He didn't apologize for his gifts. He didn't shrink himself to make them comfortable. He didn't allow his assignment to manage their insecurity. But he also didn't use his gift as a weapon. He didn't rub it in, no. He didn't parade his authority to humiliate them. What he did was to stay anchored in his identity. He was secured enough in who he was and what he was sent to do that the threats couldn't redirect him. And here's what I find quite remarkable. Jesus engaged them. He taught in their spaces, in the synagogue and other places. He accepted their invitations. He told them the truth, even when the truth was uncomfortable. But he did it in a way that left the door open. He was never trying to shame or dishonor them. He was trying to reach them. Unfortunately, they were not ready for the change. So, you need to keep growing. But you grow towards your spouse, not away from them. You invite them into your process. You celebrate their wins loudly. You make it clear through your words, your choices, and your actions that you are not competing with them. Rather, you are for them. If this resonated with you, I want to hear from you. Leave a comment, send a message, or share this episode with someone in your life who really needs it. Reviews and shares are how we grow in this community, and every one of them genuinely means something. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit subscribe, ring the notification bell, and drop a comment below telling me the one thing from today's talk that has hit you in a different way. If you and your spouse are in a season where the weight of unspoken things is getting heavy, we all face that once a while, and you don't only want to listen to a podcast, but you actually want to do the work, I want to invite you to step into a one-on-one coaching with me. Now, this is not therapy. It's a space where we get intentional, honest, and we get moving forward. You can reach out to me directly through the link that is in the description below or in the bio. Until our next talk, take care of yourself and take care of each other. Bye-bye for now.